The Guardian.
Support for this podcast comes from Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes creating a professional website for your business, personal brand, or portfolio so easy, it's newsworthy. Go to squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
World Cup Football Daily with James Richardson.
The World Cup is over. North Korea are the world champions, while in Rio, Germany had the guts and they had the glory after a match plagued by worse finishing than Brazil with their World Cup stadia. But you know, the tournament's not truly done till we've had our final World Cup Football Daily. Sound of a municipal cleaning vehicle as they clear away the dust and debris and detritus and the bits of stray protester and all that kind of thing here as the World Cup begins to fade into the memories. It's all over. James Horncastle.
Hi, Jimbo.
Wow. Yeah. Seems so long ago that we stood here watching it all begin. Like those early games.
4 years ago.
It seems so long ago. Scott Murray.
Hi, James.
We've been through so much, Scott.
It's been a journey.
Yeah, it really has. Listeners, have you been on a journey? I know I have. And, well, it's staggering. And what an epic finale in the end. Quality to begin with, and certainly quantity with the extra time and that. An absolute spectacular World Cup winning goal. One of the all-time classic World Cup goals, I'm going to say. Scott, what do you think?
Yeah, it was a goal worthy of winning the World Cup. As minute by minute report,
yeah,
churned out, yeah, the cliches,
yeah.
It was a fantastic goal, but it was a slightly strange match, kind of a microcosm of the World Cup a wee bit.
Ooh.
In a whole, in the first half I thought was excellent, a lot of fun. The second half was pretty poor on the whole. Occasional bursts of quality.
And extra time was quite fun, I thought.
Extra time was not bad. It was certainly better than the second half, which dragged things down a wee bit.
Yeah. So what happened on that goal?
On that goal, Goetze came on. Obviously, he was a late substitute. Made a great run to take his man away from Schürrle, give him some space on out wide, put the cross in, and Demichelis seemed to switch off. And
he just kept running.
He did, in a straight line.
Yeah.
As though he was going behind the goal. Yeah, which is odd. And then Goetze, with great control on his chest and a fantastic finish to beat Romero, who was approaching, I think, Walter Zenger's record for minutes of a clean sheet. Minutes unbeaten in World Cups. And there's been a lot of criticism about Goetze throughout this tournament. Yeah, he was that false nine. And it was when they shelved that, for the France game, and Klose came back in, that many people thought Goetze's tournament was done. And yet, Super Mario has come in and, you know, 22 years old, has scored the World Cup winning goal, which, remarkable.
It certainly was. A lot of people thought Germany were going to win this. Don't think too many people thought it was going to be as tight as that. Straight after the final whistle, we caught up with Raphael Honigstein at the actual Maracanã.
World Cup Football Daily with AC Jimbo.
Hello, James Richardson.
Many congratulations, Rafa.
I will pass them on to the boys in the mixer.
I'm sure you will. A quick chat before you go and talk to them, though. You must be, first of all, absolutely delighted. Was that the greatest football experience of your life?
It's up there with some other nice experiences, yes.
Yeah. I mean, as big finals go, this had, I imagine, a pretty special atmosphere there.
Yeah, it was quite amazing. We had the whole Argentina-Brazilian rivalry inside the stadium, the Brazilians supporting Germany, of course, and Argentina having so many fans and so loud. It was an amazing final. Maybe not, didn't quite sustain the quality of the first 45 minutes, but it was an unbelievable sporting event, I thought.
Yeah, we're just watching the players going up to get their medals. Now, Manuel Neuer, he certainly was on top of most things today. He was particularly on top of Gonzalo Higuain at one point.
He was. I think he Germany on the whole rode their luck a little bit, but then so did Argentina. I thought the referee could have easily set up the players off. But I thought Argentina executed their game plan almost perfectly today. Germany were a little bit hit and miss in the end, but just somehow scraped through, and sometimes that's how you win trophies.
Rafa, I remember when Spain lifted the European Championship in 2008, there was a feeling that now that they got that one, there was something big coming from the Spanish. Do you have the impression that maybe Germany is heading towards a period of maybe dominance or sustained excellence in the same manner?
Yeah, I think it's far too early to ask that question and certainly to answer that question. They just won the World Cup a few minutes ago. I think nobody has seen German players to think about dominating anything or winning any Euros or thinking about the future. They've just come such a long way, especially the Schweinsteigers, the Lahms, you know, these guys have so many narrow misses. And just the culmination of their career and to actually motivate themselves going forward will be quite difficult. So I don't know about domination. And there will be a transitional phase when the 30-year-olds in this team move on. But Germany have a lot of quality. We knew that. And I think the World Cup doesn't really change anything. They would have been one of the favourites to win 2016. And they're one of the favourites without the trophy. And they're one of the favourites to win 2016 with the World Cup. So I don't see the big point.
Excellent, Rafa. Well, you enjoy tonight then. And we look forward to seeing you back in London.
Thank you, James. Ciao. Bye, from Rio.
James, it's a good thing that Rafa's not one to kind of start flaunting an air of superiority or anything.
Not at all. No.
Otherwise, you know, next season could be horrendous.
Final whistle for him was ka-ching.
Ka-ching. Yeah, there you go. Well, now, heroes and villains of that game, Scott, well, beyond the Mario.
Do we have to have villains?
No. Well, I'm going to say, yeah, we do. Rizzoli, what on earth was he thinking?
Not sending off Aguero.
Well, there's that. There's Manuel Neuer's Schumacher-esque challenge on Higuain. I call it a challenge.
Hervedes as well.
Yeah, Hervedes as well.
Go back to Neuer, because
I thought it was in a World Cup that's seen some fairly bizarre refereeing decisions. I thought Rizzoli, who I generally think is a fairly sensible chap, tonight went into all sorts of extremely strange positions.
I think there's been a reluctance to show cards in this tournament. I think if you look at it statistically, they're way down. They wanted to let the play,
the blood flow
freely. Yeah, the blood. To be honest, I mean, he did show what the likes of Schweinsteiger and that yellow cards. Mm. But I mean, the side on still photograph of that challenge on Higuain, where he looks like he's just been roundhoused by Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
his face is, it looks like he's been beaten up.
He's just got a knee in the jaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a sucker. But, I mean, they could have been down to nine men if he takes Hervedes and Neuer off.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, a slight villain in this piece was Sabea, because he took off Lavezzi at half-time. Now, whether that was due to an injury, I don't know. And if it was, then so be it. But he was probably their best player in the first half.
Yeah. Was that a key? Was that a turning point in the game? Lavezzi going off.
They still had chances. I mean, Higuain, yeah, when he was replaced later, I mean, he'll probably not sleep very well tonight after missing that early chance when he was through on goal. Toni Kroos headed it and he was through. Messi also had a presentable chance, which you'd back him to score. And Palacio, and it was almost as though they had Fred and Joe up front. You know, they had so many chances, but yet zero shots on target.
Mm. A lot was expected of Messi, a huge opportunity for him this game, as indeed for all the players there. But although his performance didn't live up to perhaps what expectations were, they wouldn't have got near this final without him.
Wouldn't they? I'm not entirely sure he did much in the semi, for example.
Well, I don't think they'd have got near the semi without Messi. I think in the group stages they were pretty much a Messi, a one-man band.
I don't know. I think Messi. I realise he scored a few goals early on in the tournament, but I think his impact on Argentina's run has been slightly overplayed. In as much as the main thing was the defence, and they were solid and they were nicking things.
But they were nicking it. He scored largely all their goals in the group stage. I think of the seven maybe that they scored in the group stage, he scored four and set up another, which suggests. And as somebody was pointing out yesterday, if he wasn't scoring them themselves, the fact that Messi was there meant that the opposition was so concentrated on stopping him or sticking a man on him that it made things possible. I thought in that sense he had a good World Cup, but took your point that. That in the semi-final he didn't shine particularly either, and it was a fairly sterile semi-final as well.
Yeah, I mean, as we pointed out earlier, when Lavezzi went off, I think they missed him. Obviously, Di Maria didn't make it, and his absence, some people have said, has impacted on Messi's game. You look at the strikers that they had on to start with, and then they brought on all exceptional strikers, I think, in their own right. Even Palacio scored 62 goals in his last three seasons, but people calling for Carlitos.
Yeah.
I mean, there's politics in that decision, fallout with the Federation and maybe with Messi, why he wasn't involved, but would he have perhaps been, would he have taken those chances? It's a what if, but
it's interesting because they finished with not a single shot on target in 120 minutes, which is pretty remarkable stuff, as is the possession. 36% of the possession, which, whether you think those statistics are significant or not, is very much up to you. We heard from Rafa a short time ago. Archie Rintut, friend of the show, was over in Munich, meanwhile, to sample the Bavarian atmosphere live in the Olympia Stadion as they watched the game there on a very big screen. Here's what he had to say.
You can probably hear We Are the Champions ringing out around the stadium once again, the second time they bothered to play it.
Right.
It's going to reach a crescendo now, as you can probably hear in the background. In the Olympia Stadion in Munich, it's an absolutely incredible atmosphere.
What was the bit they cheered the most, Arch?
Well, quite obviously it was the goal. When Mario Götze scored, it was like a volcanic eruption in here. There were flares going off left, right and centre. I was covered in amber globules of Paulana beer. It was quite an incredible experience, I've got to say.
Right. Fantastic. And playlist-wise, you mentioned We Are the Champions. Winds of Change, has that in any way been a theme?
No, I haven't heard Winds of Change, but I think that might be apt for tonight, especially because this is, of course, their first World Cup since reunification in 1990, and what better way to celebrate it with a player... Mario Götze, a guy who was born after 1990, one of seven squad members who was born since reunification. How appropriate that he wins the first World Cup where it's not West Germany, but it's Germany, and a four-star above that badge above their chest as well.
Right. And have you been talking to the German fans there, Archie?
I have been talking to them. They were all really confident before the game. They were all saying it's going to be 3-1 to Germany. No problem, but you could sense that confidence ebbing away throughout the match. But I think they are just delighted at having won this. I don't think they were expecting this, because before the tournament they had those injuries, especially to Marco Reus so soon before the tournament. I don't think they were really expecting this, and especially after the performances against Ghana and Algeria, the people I talked to were their expectations were lowered by those performances. But I think that Brazil result, I think that justifies them as the rightful winners of this tournament.
World Cup Football Daily with James Richardson.
That's good news, because I think a lot of people are concerned about the fact that this was a final without We Are the Champions being played. But in Munich, they took care of business. And you can't begrudge the Germans. How long was it since 1996 that they'd actually won something?
Yeah, Euro 96.
Yeah. So that's fair enough. And what, five straight semi-finals? Or is it six with this one? Mm. Lots of semi-finals in a row. And finally they get there and do the business.
And you think of the players who missed out. I mean, Khedira was injured in the warm-up. Reus didn't make the tournament. Bender didn't make the tournament. Gundogan didn't make the tournament. All these players who would have added something.
Mm.
And going forward into Euro 2016.
Surely too early to think about that.
As Rafa was saying. Yeah. The last three World Cups have all been won by European nations. I know people were saying that this is the first time a European nation has won in South America. I think was probably going to happen, because these environmental differences probably, close down now. For the last three World Cups have been won by three European nations, which has never happened. It does seem to show that the balance of power is firmly in. And after all, everyone was saying about Brazil and the state of football there. Many people saying that this generation of Argentinian players, it was some of their last chance, and not many others are coming through. It is interesting in that
sense. It is. Paolo Bandini pointed out 20 World Cups so far, 13 of them won by Germany, Brazil, and Italy. Mentioning Brazil brings us on to the third falls playoff, which of course took place Saturday night, which we sadly were unable to bring you coverage of. I'm not sure, Scott, did you watch this?
I did, yes.
Did you? Good for you. My thoughts watching it were largely, how on earth did this Brazil side reach the semi-finals?
Yes.
Absolutely. Or was it just that the Neymar thing?
Well, but the weird thing I thought watching it as well was suddenly there was a point where Holland got off to such a flyer, and you're thinking, oh, this is going to happen again. And it just didn't quite click. And that's when I suddenly thought, hold on, actually, Germany, there was a lot of people saying Germany were flattered by how bad Brazil were, and they were up to a point, obviously. But suddenly watching Holland do the same thing to this just ramshackle rubbish, and they couldn't quite put it together. And I also thought, like, you know, this Holland side, and that's not a good side either. And you were watching two sides at different levels of badness battle it out, and obviously Brazil are much, much worse.
Right. Although Holland, to be fair, they won the third fourth playoff 3-0, and they finished the World Cup unbeaten. Who did they play? They played the world champions, Spain. They played the host nation, Brazil. They played Argentina. They played Chile, Costa Rica. And I think they conceded only 4 goals in all that time, unbeaten at the end of the time. So it was Mexico, so it was another nation. So they keep coming.
Australia, do we have them? Let's keep a break.
Two of those goals were from Australia. That is remarkable. Right. But on the Neymar subject, before he got injured, there were 10 goals that they scored and 4 goals conceded. After he got injured, they scored 1 goal and conceded 9. So the effect of his removal from the team was pretty enormous. And here's another stat. The last 14 shots on the Brazil goal in this World Cup, 11 goals scored. So 14 shots on their goal, 11 of them went in. Which, Julio Cesar, not very good. James,
he redeemed himself from 4 years ago in the penalty shootout with Chile, didn't he? And then he even in the 7-1, he made one or two decent saves. But I think the other thing from the third place playoff is that Thiago Silva came back into the team within, what, how many seconds? He gives away a penalty.
And should have been off the field, arguably.
Should have been off the field. Yeah. So maybe he wouldn't have made that big a difference anyway, not with Luis playing like he did again.
All right. Well, listen, they're coming to take away these chairs we're sitting on, so we'd better wrap things up. Scott, 4 years from now, we'll be sat in, what, Red Square, probably, a little bit of borscht and stuff. What will we have been watching, do you think?
I would imagine kind of more of the same.
I'm asking you to project into the future. Are we going to see Germany in the final again? Will we just have seen usher in a new generation of German stars?
I would guess they'll be in the semi-finals at least. That's right. What usually happens, isn't it?
Against a team wearing CCCP, Soviet Union, you know, sort of back again.
Right.
Probably, you know.
Interesting. With that little host nation push.
And the other big question is whether Brazil will qualify for the next World Cup.
It's a very good
question.
You know,
they may fail for the first time.
Right.
They're not very good.
Well, what will England have done, Scott?
They may well fail as well.
Really?
Yeah, unless they might get rid of Hodgson at some point.
Well, yeah, because the new person stepping in will make all the difference.
Brendan.
As has always been the case, Brendan, indeed. All right, but, I mean, in all seriousness, based on what you've seen in this tournament, is there a team that you think, ooh, in 4 years' time, this lot could be very tasty? Are we going to see Costa Rica?
Costa Rica
continuing
back.
Continuing their upward curve.
Yeah, catching everyone offside. I'm not sure.
What about the Americans?
The US?
Hmm.
Well, I mean, they certainly had some the young players, that Brooks, Green, Johnson, going through might do better. I mean, again, might they boycott it if the Soviet, you know, if it's it'd be like the Olympics in the '80s and all that sort of thing? I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I'm perhaps projecting far too much.
Yeah,
politics shouldn't be interfering in this.
Do you know what? Hearing that, I'm looking forward to it already. But now, that's where we're going to wrap up for today. Football Daily Stroke Weekly will be back early August when the league seasons get underway again, maybe with a little bit of a preview. So do make sure you join us for that, and do make sure you have a super time in the meanwhile, listener. A quick thank you to producer Ben and his able assistants, producer Pete and producer Ian, to James Horcastle, Scott Murray, and everyone else who joined us in this merry adventure that was Brazil 2014. For now, from all of us here, it is Até logo.
Cup Football Daily, just like being in Brazil.
Support for this Guardian podcast comes from Squarespace. With World Cup fever taking over, we at The Guardian are pretty sure that you're thinking big too. So maybe now is the time to use Squarespace to create your own professional website for your small business, portfolio, or blog. It's easy. You could create your own site during halftime. Just go to squarespace.com to start your free trial. And to support this podcast, use the offer code Guardian to get 10% off.